So it's been going well. We've set, with the help of the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, a dollar amount limit, which that dollar amount was initially set at $20,000 per operator. And again, this is a secondary business opportunity to their primary responsibility. So with that, we are identifying routes to have on track of exceeding essentially $20,000, which obviously is a good thing, but we need to work in the future to establish some sort of parameters to ensure that we have a budget in which will allow for permanent opportunity and possibly expansion of opportunity in the future. So that's going well. Looking at the figures just over the past year, operators have been identified, majority of the operators, those who, you know, obviously have an interest of growing their brand, essentially their and extending out themselves for opportunity, have really exceeded on their profitability points. Just looking briefly at our median in which we reported to the federal government last year and what I anticipate reporting this year, we've pretty much almost double, triple that number as a median number. So that says a lot about where we're headed. I foresee that we are going to continue to see operators profits expand into the 2024 state year. In addition, the program is now looking to establish relationships with programs or businesses in different parts of the state to see if we can offer or essentially guide individuals, clients to that have an interest in our program, in specific to operating over-the-counter food services, some larger opportunities per se, who don't have any prior experience in food service, see if we can maybe link up with companies to offer hands-on training. I think that's essential. I think that's going to allow our program to expand out and capture people's interest. What we, as to date, typically, when we're seeking out individuals for these type of opportunities, we are essentially looking for people who have prior experience. But as we all know in the food industry, outside of this program and just naturally as a program, the Randolph Shepherd program, the Business Enterprise program, it's taken a hit. It's taken a hit because just the food industry in itself has taken a hit. Whether it's employment, lack of employment, high food cost, and other food service related issues, it's essential that we make sure that any person that participates or wants to align for one of these opportunities not only just has a business experience or, just general business, but they have a food service experience, because there's a tremendous difference of the two. And so going into 2024, I'm looking to position people, individuals with interest, to potentially take on opportunities in which we anticipate will come as we just move forward as a program. So that, I think, is going to be huge. In speaking to the advisory board, there was a suggestion of, reaching out to Children's Services as well for the transitional kids, in addition to, working with Mary and VR to identify those individuals, because I think it's going to be key in the growing the program. And I think that's where we are. I'm pleased with what I'm seeing for our existing operators as far as their ability to stretch themselves, their ability to figure out their transportation needs, their abilities to adjust from what once was. A lot of these managers that have taken advantage of the pilot vending program were once over-the-counter food service managers, and essentially it was a blow to them to no longer be able to provide those type of services in our state buildings, because we are now, in specific our agency, on 80% telework, and many other state agencies are 60 to 80%. Therefore not requiring over-the-counter food service concessions. So I'm very pleased with the way operators have pivoted themselves to expand on their opportunities. In other areas, our program is actively working on updating our regulations. This is something that hasn't been done for some time, probably 10, 15 years. So with the subcommittee of the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors and our agency staff, we are actively working on that, and we're pretty much finalized on our end of our draft. So I anticipate getting over to that subcommittee our draft request, and hopefully this will be a marriage to allow for to be able to kind of further this request up the chain of command. So we're good there. In addition, as we talk about expansion, our program has recently taken on a new micro market opportunity down at Camp Nett National Guard Training Facility in Nyanic. One of your members, Brandy Altiga, is actually the manager of that site. She's doing a phenomenal job. In addition, Camp Nett administration appears to be pleased with this this new offering, and we believe that this is going to definitely seal the deal as far as filling the void in which the camp has acknowledged in past, where individuals who come up for training, you know, may not have some of their essential requirements, under clothes, undergarments, you know, just toiletries, etc. So we're filling that void, and so with that, they're very pleased. So, you know, 2023 didn't just come with all highlights. There was unfortunate passing of one of our long-standing operators, Glenda Lee Hernandez. She abruptly passed away. She was the cafeteria food service provider at the Norwalk Community College. Fortunately, again, when we talk about preparation of being, you know, being prepared for the opportunity, we were fortunate enough to have an existing operator who operates our seasonal location be able to slide in and continue managing that operation, in which the college is as well as pleased, and that operator has some good ideas for the future. So we're good there. Greenwich Beach, we just finished up our second year there. They are very pleased with our operation, and we're working out some fine details in hopes that we can continue the operation going into our third season, in which I'm pretty confident we will land. So, you know, it is, I can honestly say 2023 has been a good year, and we look into 2024, you know, kind of just being a continuation of that. You know, the goal is just to maintain our existing operators and their satisfaction. But, and again, looking to expand the program, it was something that was just on my plan of actions. And I think this is where we're headed to do. And I think we'll be able to achieve that.
That's great. Congratulations on the National Guard. Brandy, congratulations. That's, I think, a very important step in perhaps entering other avenues of the military. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any, Sharon, no, great work. That's why I wanted you to present today, because I was so excited to hear that the income's going up and getting back to pre-COVID form for some things. Any questions, comments?
This is Scott from Chris Radio. I'm just curious as to how you secure the locations. What's that process like?
Yep, great question, Scott. So essentially our program gets first right of refusal for any state, federal, municipal location. And so when any location seeks, when any existing contract expires or seeks any service in which falls within the scope of our program, just by statutory right, they reach out to us for first right of refusal. So we'll essentially receive that request. We'll do a site survey and try to gather as much prior information as possible, business information, to make a determination if we, number one, find this location to be viable. And then we present this information to the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, who in turn, you know, essentially has the 50% weight of decision making. And we make the determination if it's an opportunity in which we are looking to secure. Obviously, there's factors with having an individual prepared and ready, in addition to viability interests.
All right, cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? All right, Tyrell, thank you for that. We're looking forward to more exciting news in the coming year. And thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate you all. Thank you. Have a great holiday, everyone.
You too.
Bye-bye. I'm going to go right to Carol for the director's report. And under that, we'll cover the annual report as well. And then I'll go to Mary for the her report, which will hopefully also cover the consumer satisfaction survey. So, Carol, the floor is yours.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. I got the right document here. All right. So, I want to start with a report on staff vacancies. We only have two remaining vacancies at BESBE that we're actively recruiting to be filled. One of them is in adult services. It's a rehab technology teacher, a second position. And I believe interviews were held on December 13th. And so we're now awaiting to see what HR and EEO have confirmed as who that new hire will be. The other position is a secretary one, and that position was posted and it closed. And I just got back from some leave today, and I found that an email that no one who applied met the minimum criteria. So that position will have to work to get reposted again. So that was a little bit disappointing, but that is an update as of this morning on those things. Our BESBE call tree. I'm still working with IT and Avaya, who is our phone system company, on getting an English and a Spanish version of options recorded, so that way when consumers call our mainline phone number, they have options to hopefully get them to the person or department that they need to speak with quicker than just calling the main number, leaving a message, and then waiting for someone to call them back. So it's a work in progress. It has not gone live yet, but we're getting closer. The large print calendars did go out in November, and so far we've received a lot of positive feedback, especially on the section that we added that was in previous year's calendars about resources. So consumers are glad that that came back and have asked for it to stay for future year's calendars. The SRC budget, this has been set up in our system by fiscal, and there's currently $10,000 sitting in it. And so this is that fund where if SRC board members need reimbursement for an Uber or Lyft or mileage, if we have an in-person board meeting, or if board members want to go to CSABR or NCSAB or the National State Rehab Council meetings, this is the budget that would help pay for those things. But before anybody could get reimbursed for anything, you have to fill out, it's called a vendor profile form, and then a W-9 to be set up in our system as a vendor. So even if you may be a client, that's totally different than being set up in the system as a vendor, somebody who can actually receive funds. So an update, Mary, I did go to CSAVR, which is the Council of State Administrators for Vocational Rehabilitation, and NCSAB, which is the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. Those are a mouthful. And I have some highlights here of things that I took away from this conference. So the first thing was DEIA, which is Disability Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. And then just how different states and agencies are working with staff and consumers in these areas. So it's very interesting. The bulk of this, both of these conferences were about rapid engagement. And so being able to move our consumers from referral status through eligibility and into plan and receiving services quickly. And I'm happy to report that Connecticut Blind is at 100% in this area. So, and we've been that way for several years, actually. So many states and agencies have issues with this, but we do not here in Connecticut. So that was very good. We also had a presentation on the 50-year anniversary of the Rehab Act of 1973, and it was by former Commissioner Mark Schultz. And the ironic thing is, things that consumers and advocates were fighting for in 1973 are still being fought for today in regards to civil rights, you know, access to different things for accessibility. And so things are still there. We've made some ground, but there's still a lot of work to do in those areas. I also attended a workshop on branding. Many agencies and states are working on their branding, totally redoing their branding statement, kind of their marketing approach for program outreach, and, you know, getting new logos for things. And BSBE is working on that. I've submitted a prior approval request to RSA, which is the Rehabilitation Services Administration, to see if they will give me permission to use some of our VR grant funds for this. So we're still waiting. I haven't received an answer yet, and with the holidays, probably won't until January. So hopefully we can get that approved and make that happen, so that way BSBE can kind of work on redoing our image and our brand and our logo. There was also a presentation on artificial intelligence, and it was more of a presentation so agencies are aware of it and, you know, not to avoid it because it's out there and employers and consumers are using it. So it's just one of the tools in the toolbox that's out there for us to consider. I'm going to skip the performance measures because I want Mary to report on that. But other than that, we just had the regular older blind and vocational rehab and pre-employment transition services and Randolph Shepherd reports and presentations that are the regular types of things. And at the moment, there's nothing new to report on there. The state plan, it is due for years 2024 through 2027. BSBE's part's due in January. Don't know exactly when in January. But I would like to definitely have it done by mid-January, so that way I can get it uploaded to the state portal. And so thank you to the work group for volunteering to work with me on that and setting our goals. And then we will use the consumer statewide needs assessment to develop those goals. And I did get the draft report. It was last Thursday, but I left on leave Friday and I just got back this morning. So I have not had a chance to read it yet, but I'll read it, go through it, and then I'll send it to those of you who volunteered to be on the committee to go through that and help come up with some ideas for our state plan goals. Now for the 2023 Consumer Satisfaction Survey, I have a summary of takeaways that I got from it. And so first, some general statistics. This was for program year 2022. And there was 180 potential consumers who were able to be surveyed. Only 23 consumers actually completed this survey. And of those, not all of them answered every question. And so that was, in my mind, a pretty disappointing result. And so for a survey to be valid, you at least want 25%. The minimum is 15 to 17%. Response rate, and the 23 consumers barely met that 15% rate. So food for thought is to look at having that phone portion of the survey brought back to increase response rate, to have a higher validity and reliability rate in the responses that we received. Thus, that will cost more money. So something for, if there's a work group, have to get that started right away in January, because we're already halfway through this next year's program year. So some of the areas that received kind of that middle to high satisfaction ratings were, personal care attendant services, small business venture services, staff professionalism and approachability, staff general service provision, staff referrals to resources, which is kind of the category of enabling independence for consumers, transportation services, low vision services, skills training services, rehab technology and adaptive equipment services, and then higher education training. So here are some of the takeaways that I got from this for areas to explore. So further exploration of providing skills training and rehab technology services to consumers when it is appropriate. And then providing training to staff on the process of client rights and responsibilities for complaint resolution for client services. And then also a continuation of making our forms accessible, putting them into job forms to assist in the staff and consumer communication with forms and things. It is a slow work in progress because we don't have dedicated staff to just do that. Staff work on it when they have time. And so we're getting there, but it's just taking a while. And then I have a note here that CCSU, which is Central Connecticut State University, strongly encouraged us to going back to phone surveys as well as the electronic surveys to get a higher response rate. It was mentioned a few times in their report. The next thing on my list is for 2025, BSBY is going to be working on, with Jennifer Proto's help, a few state statute updates, and they both have to do with children's services, but I just want the SRC to be aware that we're doing this, because the BSBY board is going to be also helping with this. The first thing is the formula for determining teacher caseloads. The formula that's currently there is, it's 6 points per Braille learner, and then 1 point for every other student who's visually impaired. And that formula just doesn't really work with students in today's society because there's severe multiple disabilities. And sometimes a Braille learner requires less time from a teacher that's visually impaired than a consumer that's blind with a brain injury, you know, or a cortical visual impairment may need. And so we're hoping to change it to where we could have a formula that takes into account the PPT or the IEP hours for a particular student, as opposed to just assigning them 1 point or 6 points. And then the second thing is the eligibility criteria. The Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, the federal level of OSEP, has flagged Connecticut twice now, once back in 2017 and then once, I forget if it was last year or this year, saying that under our state statutes, the ADS-BSBY criteria for eligibility is more restrictive than IDEA, and to make that more clear, because BSBY services are secondary, the school is the primary service provider of kids, or kind of the extra, and those do fall in line with IDEA, but it is a little confusing. And so the Connecticut State Department of Education also suggested that we work on making our language more clear in our statutes, so that way we won't get flagged in future years to explain these things, since it's happened twice now. Then just the last thing for my update is, as Tyrell mentioned, each department or program, we are working on updating our policy manuals. This is a very long and lengthy process, so it's going to take probably at least a year, but we do have manuals that are really outdated and need updating, and so we are working on doing that. So that is my report. I hope I didn't forget anything. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Carol, this is Philip. I want to go a couple things. First, before the customer satisfaction survey, you talked about the large present calendars going out and adding those resources, which is great. How are those resources shared with clients who are not getting those calendars? It seems like there's some great information in those.
Yeah, so the social workers are, when a client, a consumer is referred to our agency, and if they're found eligible, the social worker is the first point of contact, and the social workers have all of these resources, and so when they meet with a consumer, they'll go through them and say, hey, you know, do you want the talking book, you know, service? You know, and if they say yes, you know, they can fill out an application. They fill out an application with the consumer and then help get them signed up. So it's that same sort of thing, because there's many clients who choose not to take advantage of some of those resources, but the social workers do go through those with consumers. I think I see a hand raised.
Yeah, Bryson? Carol, that's me. It's Jen from CAP. Sorry, I don't sound like myself today. Will, for the policy manual updates, will the SRC be able to review those before the public comment period, or will we need to go to the public comment period?
I'll have to double check with the commissioner, but I think how the process works, I haven't done it yet in Connecticut, is so BSBE and the SRC, if there's a work group, will work together on those updates. I will probably draft some of them first to make sure they follow kind of the federal guidance, because we're working with the Technical Assistance Center with RSA on some of those. And then once we have something, it'll go to the commissioner for her approval, and then it'll have to go to public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Carol, I lost my audio for a moment, so I just want to touch back real quickly on those resources. Yes, I understand that the social workers provide those during the intake, but the calendars are going out to current clients. So current clients are getting those calendars with reminder and the services which are available to them. But people like me who don't get the calendar aren't getting those resources as a reminder. Could those be emailed to clients?
And they probably could.
Those resources?
Anybody can call and ask for them, but current clients, you know, can always email your VR counselor, social worker, whoever, and they can be emailed to you.
Okay, but so what I'm saying is they might not know these resources, or someone may have been put in the system 10, 20 years ago, forgot about all these services. So if they're going out on calendars, people request calendars, I think they should be going out to all clients, not just the ones who request the calendars. That makes sense.
So the calendars go out to, I believe, and I'd have to double check this with Lori St. Amon, who worked on this, but I think it goes out to individuals on the blind registry with BSBE, whether they're current clients or not. I think it's the blind registry.
I thought they had to request it because I've never got one in the mail, and I'm on the blind registry. There's over 7,000 that were on the blind registry. I don't know if they're sending out 7,000 calendars.
No, we're down to
never
a whole
one.
Lot
yeah.
fewer on
yeah.
those.
I've never received one.
But they don't go out to totally blind clients because it's a large print calendar. But no, we can definitely get those resources sent out, but we haven't done an email blast or anything.
That'd be a great idea, though. It doesn't cost anything, you know. So just a suggestion.
Okay.
Going to the consumer satisfaction survey, a couple things. First thing, what are personal care services? I don't even know what those are under VR. And do people receive them?
If they're eligible to receive them, yes, they can. So a personal care attendant is for consumers who might be paralyzed or have a significant mobility impairment with their arms and legs, to where they need assistance with bathing or feeding, those sorts of things. So
in conjunction with blindness, though, but we're talking about
yes,
blindness.
Correct, yes.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Thank you. Second, the low response rate of 23. I suppose they're using the same survey system, SurveyMonkey, and program they use for the needs assessment survey, which I received. Now, I received the need, you know, myself, my wife, Bill. We found that survey inaccessible using iPhones. I'm hoping that this was not the case. Well, maybe, hopefully that is the case with those.